He's a national champion for the Kentucky Wildcats, an All-American, an all-around great guy, and a Kentuckian by birth. Jack Goose Givens joins us. Hey, Jack, welcome.
Hey, Terry. Thanks a lot, man. It's good to be on with you this afternoon.
You're enjoying being back in the broadcast game?
Yeah, it's been really fun. I tell you, it's nice to be able to have to be in a position where you have to study the game again. I know I broadcast it for 30, 35 years, something like that, and I always had to go through the notes and to read stuff and to learn stuff and to pay attention, and to be back in that situation again has been a lot of fun, and I've really enjoyed talking about the teams the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to talk about, that's for sure, but first I wanted to talk with you about your coach, Joe B. Hall, who Kentuckians obviously revered. It was, you know, when you and I are the same age, when we were at school, you played for him, so you knew him, but I didn't. I'm a student, and if I was walking down a sidewalk, I'd get off the sidewalk. I'm scared to death of that guy.
Well, he kind of came across that way, but he really wasn't. Now, he wasn't with the fans. Now, he was that way with the team. He made it as difficult as he possibly could for us. And, you know, it's interesting because nowadays it seems like the coaches kind of coddle the players, and they bend over backwards to make them happy and to appeal to them. But back in the day, man, the coaches didn't want us to like them. I mean, they went out of their way to make it difficult for us. So for the regular everyday student, he was great, man. But for us players, he didn't want us to like him, and for the most part, we didn't.
But it paid off. You made it to that championship and obviously had a lot of other great moments during your time there. So the system worked.
It really did. You don't like going through it sometimes because there just seems like there's an easier way, you know, to get a guy's attention. But it did work. I mean, he had a system. He had a way about him, a way he had learned to coach, I think, from Coach Rupp, having been an assistant under him for a number of years. That's kind of the way Coach Rupp did it, and that's the way Coach Hall learned to do it. I think later on in life, which was really good, I think he learned that there were other ways to do it. As a matter of fact, when he got into broadcasting, of course, I had been broadcasting games for a while, and he called me up one day, and he said, "Hey, I need to have lunch with you." And I said, "Sure, Coach, anytime." And you know, he said, "Man, I'm going around and I'm watching these other teams practice, and I'm having a difficult time figuring out the best way to broadcast these games because everything was so different from the way he did it." And after talking to him and getting him to understand that, hey, there's nothing wrong with coaches being different than you are, he really caught on and became much better at it. But that was some of the things that we kind of experienced together after the playing days were over.
Exactly. What do you recall the first time that he treated you like a grown-up or like a peer as opposed to a coach yelling at a player?
Exactly. That was the time when he called me and he asked me, mm-hmm. He said, "What do you do to make this job easier for you when it comes to broadcasting?" And I told him, I said, "Coach, if you look at this as you broadcasting a game to thousands and thousands of people," I said, "you're going to struggle. I mean, it's going to be tough." I said, "What I do is I approach the game. I think about it like I'm talking to two or three of my buddies, mm-hmm. and we're just sitting talking basketball. And none of this TV, no cameras, all of this you got to block out." But once he came to me for that advice, and I gave him that advice, and it really did make it easier for him because he told me that a month or so later. I think now we're looking at each other as peers in a whole new industry, a whole new delivery system, and that enabled us to kind of get past this player-coach relationship that was strained at times, but as you say, it certainly worked out well.
did you and James Lee and Kyle Macy and Scheidler, these guys on the team, did you have any sense that Coach Hall was hurting in his stomach because Adolph Rupp was backseat driving on him, sitting in the stands and criticizing him on his own Adolph Rupp TV show?
You know what? I didn't get any sense of that as we were going through it. I know that he stepped into a position that was very, very difficult. And you have to understand that there were a whole bunch of fans who didn't think Coach Hall was the man for the job. I don't know who they thought would be, but not a lot of people wanted Coach Hall to have that job. Part of the reason was that Coach Hall was, and it was going to happen anyway, no matter who took over the job, but Coach Hall was adamant about changing the program, adamant about bringing in African-American players and making sure that they felt welcome and that they were a big part of the program. And a lot of people back in those days didn't want to see that happen. So when he started recruiting guys like Reggie Warford or Tom Payne, for that matter, and then on with James Lee and I and Marion Haskins and Larry Johnson, when he started recruiting players like that and bringing them into the program, he got a whole lot of difficult times from a lot of people. But he was strong, and he did a great job of kind of blocking all of that exterior stuff out and focused on making us be the best team he could.
What kind of things did Coach Hall say to your parents to assure them you'd be safe when you went on road trips into Mississippi and Alabama? I mean, that's what we always heard about Rupp's recruiting of Tom Payne, is saying it's tough down in the Deep South.
Well, what I remember is my mother, was one of those people who grew up in Lexington, obviously, was around when programs like Dunbar and Douglas High School were winning state championships and had players who deserved to have an opportunity to play at Kentucky. My biggest challenge for my mom was not so much what was going to happen when we went south. My biggest thing for my mother was what's going to happen when he's on the campus at the University of Kentucky.
Wow.
And what are you going to do there to make him feel welcome? And what are you going to do there to keep him safe? Because we remember what happened to Tom Payne, and I don't want my son going through some of the stuff that he had to go through or perceived to have been going through. So the biggest challenge for her was not so much what's going to happen when we go south, but what's going to happen when he's on your campus and he's under your tutorage as coach, and are you going to make sure that he has an opportunity that every other player there has? So a lot of that stuff, and it wasn't just my mother, man. I mean, I grew up in Lexington. James Lee's dad was the pastor of the church I went to. So not just was I hearing it at home, I was hearing it from all of those guys who thought they had a chance or were good enough to play at Kentucky and didn't even get considered. So we had some issues to take care of right there in Lexington, let alone what happens in the South and when you're away from there.
I saw you many times on campus. You were always nice to me and the other nerds who weren't athletes. And I just always appreciated about how mellow you and Macy and the other guys just walking around were just, you were just regular players. Then you guys moved to the Joe B. Hall Lodge the next year or whatever. But that was a different world. But I just had no idea the kind of pressure that when I saw you, that you were, I guess, worried about any treatment on campus. Did you get bad treatment on campus?
I never had an episode that was negative. You mentioned I tried to be a nice guy, but hey, listen, I viewed myself as one of the nerds like everybody else, man. I loved going to class. Some of the guys didn't, but I did. I loved sitting and mingling with students in the student center, breakfast or lunch and dinner there. I mean, those were the kind of experiences, because, you know, every chance I could get away from basketball, I wanted to get away from basketball because it wasn't a lot of fun a lot of times. But no, I never had a bad experience. And I'll tell you what really, really helped me and convinced me that the University of Kentucky was where I wanted to be. I mean, every gym I went to in high school, particularly as a junior and senior. And I don't care if it was Hazard or if it was Louisville or if it was Ashland or anywhere else we played, Mount Sterling. Every gym we went to was full of University of Kentucky fans, and very, very few of them looked like me, if you know what I mean.
That's
they,
right.
They were primarily 90% they were white fans, and they treated me. They treated me so well that it was easier for me to make the decision because I was getting recruited every day, every game, especially my senior year. Every game was full of blue and white, and they gave me standing ovations. They screamed out, "We want you, we want you," and that kind of stuff. So that made it a whole lot easier for me to make the decision. And by the time I got on campus, with all the people I met at Bryan Station who were there, with all the people who I met playing throughout the state, I mean, they were there with me. So that transition was pretty easy.
I'm so glad to hear all this stuff, Jack. I've known you a long time, and we've never talked about some of these issues, so I'm so glad you're sharing them with me on the radio.
Yep.
All right, we all know Joe B. Hall was loved in the latter part of his life, and it would come out and the crowd was screaming for him at Rupp Arena. Talk about that guy, though, right after you guys won the 1978 National Championship, and the pressure surely must have been like a balloon releasing all of its air. Did he lighten up after that championship?
He did. I mean, that was, I mean, and once again, when you're going through it as a player, young guy like I was, I mean, I didn't follow Kentucky basketball as a kid growing up, even though I was 10 minutes, 15 minutes from campus, because I never thought I had an opportunity to go to University of Kentucky, so I didn't follow it. So I wasn't really aware of all of the history. But I tell you, man, there was a really big difference in his approach after we won the championship. It changed him immediately in a very, very good way. Now, that's not to say he became any different coaching the game. Particularly for us players. It was my senior year, so I left after that, but I certainly heard enough from the Derek Hordes and the Charlie Hurts and the Winston Bennetts and all of these guys who came after me asking, how do you deal with this or that or the other with Coach Hall? But as far as his persona, as far as his attitude being away from the game, I think he got better with the fans after that as well, because all of that pressure was gone once he won a national championship.
And I quit getting off the sidewalk. I wasn't afraid of him anymore.
And that's a good thing, because students had to sleep out overnight a lot of times to get tickets to the games
right,
back then.
Right.
So there were a lot of kids on the sidewalk, that's for sure.
Jack, I just love you, man. You are just such a great ambassador for this program, and I'm so glad you're on the broadcasts, and great to hear your voice again.
Thanks, Terry. You know I love listening to you as well. I text in every now and then when I'm listening to you to say this or that or the other, so I'm glad to be able to call you my friend after all these years.
Yeah, we're still the same two nerds we were back then, brother.
I definitely am. Now you've gotten big time, but I am the nerd that I always was.
All right, Jack. Great talking to you. Thanks,
dear. All right, man. Bye bye.